It was another cold, grey Glasgow day, with rain teeming down from the heavens. Everyone was sick of the weather. Even the seagulls looked depressed. When I got home from school, my hands were like blocks of ice and my feet were soaking wet. Although that wasn't from the rain, that was mainly down to Granny. She was lying across the carpet in the hall trying to bleed the radiators with a knitting needle. Water was scooshing everywhere, including over my shoes. She jumped to her feet like an ape that had just realised it was sitting on an ant's nest.
"Out the way, you balloon!"
she yelled, barging me aside as she ran into the kitchen for a bucket. Another figure stepped out of an alley behind me. It was Constable McBurney. His truncheon was drawn and there was a look of excitement on his face.
"Is he a criminal, boss? Can I clobber him with this?"
He swung the baton like a propeller. D.I. Graves sighed and rolled her eyes. "No, Constable, get back in the alley. You're giving yourself away."
"Ugh."
McBurney's shoulders slumped and he traipsed back into cover in a huff.
"It's not fair."
Behind us came a high-pitched whistling sound, and, as I turned around, there was an explosion in the rocks as an RPG exploded not far from our truck.
"Holy shit," Adam said.
"Movement,"
someone yelled down the line. "In the trees, coming this way." I looked back to the front and pulled the butt of the 240 into my shoulder and sighted down the barrel. We had no idea where the RPG round had come from, but it seemed to have been the same direction from which these unknown men were creeping through the trees. "Here they come," I said, but I wasn't about to fire until I had clearance. Adam traversed the 50.
"Shit, hold off, man," he said. "Don't fire, Shane, it's the police."
Adam had averted a major blue-on-blue friendly fire incident, with all the firepower aimed at those men walking through the tree line.
He was under no illusions about who his companions on this journey were. Shaved heads, neck tattoos, bulging biceps, scars, noses that had been broken too many times. These were hardened men who had committed crimes serious enough to warrant a stay in Long Bay. And he was one of them. Jax said nothing and looked down. There was a moment of silence. When Jax looked back up, the man's face was contorted with rage. He was menacing, clad in muscle and with a face punctured by scars.
"Don't you fucking ignore me. When I talk to you, you fucking listen, okay?" he snarled.
He went to say something, but stopped himself. Fear was clouding his mind.
At that moment, in almost perfect synchronicity, Holm and Jarvid tilted their heads. Holm flicked the beam of the torch upwards. The metal frame of the roof supports zigzagged above them, but there was something else up there too. Holm stepped to one side. Now he could see two wooden boards attached to the metal frame, one where they stood and one a couple of paces away. Three U-shaped cutouts had been removed from the boards as if to support something long and tubular.
"Shit,"
Jarvid said. Holm looked at the notches again and blinked, as if in doing so he might be able to unsee reality. Nothing changed. A brief moment of panic came and went, and then he pulled out his phone. He tapped a number, and after four rings, a voice answered. "This is Senior Analyst Stephen Holm," he said, surprised at how calm his voice sounded. "Supernova. I repeat, supernova." Silver moved the rifle down slightly so Latif's chest was centered in the crosshairs. She took a breath and slowly exhaled, years of experience telling her exactly when in the cycle to take the shot. A second went by. Two. Three. She touched the trigger.